But I'm Scott, this is Abe over here. You want to say hi, Abe?
And what do you do, Scott?
I hang out on business process, workflow, integration, all of that type of stuff, and, you know, do a bunch of things around it for the last 5 years or so.
Okay, and workflow, and what team is this, first of all, that I'm here?
This is the team that looks after business process, and so we look after, from a product perspective, the product's BizTalk server, and this new product, well, actually technology, which is the Windows Workflow Foundation.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Wow.
So that's what we're here to talk about, is the Windows Workflow Foundation.
And this, I haven't heard of this, and it hasn't been shown in public yet, right?
So, you know how some teams, they talk a lot, and then they kind of engineer a little bit, and it takes a long, long time for a result? Well, this is brand new. We've announced this at PDC, but we've been working on this on a long time. You've probably heard a few leaks in it in the press, you know,
yeah.
A little bit of news around this WinOE thing, or workflow services, so you may have heard a little bit about it, but we're a long way down the track, and we're really excited with what we're giving developers at PDC on this stuff.
Okay, so you're showing off at the PDC. The video will probably come up at the same time you're on stage, right? What are you guys going to be showing off at the PDC?
Well, we're really, I guess, launching in the sense of the PDC. So in addition to developers getting the Windows Workflow Foundation bits, so you can take them home and start writing code with them, you'll also get the ability to get hands-on labs, so you can walk through understanding what this technology is. And we haven't really told you what it is yet, but
right.
You'll get that. You'll get white papers. And we also have a book. We'll be giving out our book to most of the people at PDC, and it'll be available for order. So we're kind of going from nowhere, from this silent, non-existent technology, to we're real. We're on progress to ship as part of Vista, which, of course, is relatively soon. So
right.
It's really exciting.
Now, you got your technology shipped in Windows Vista?
Yes.
On the client?
Yes.
So, Abe, what do you want to talk about the ship vehicles?
It ships in Windows Client, both on XP as well as Server, and then both Vista Client and Vista Server.
Okay.
So, yeah, it is pretty much a Windows technology. So.
Now, who should care about this technology? Is it my mom? Is it a CTO? Is it a developer?
It's really a developer technology. I mean,
okay.
I think if you look at it, in fact, just to kind of give some background to what Scott was saying, we started this thing kind of a few years back. Really, it was actually Bill's pet project. He really has this vision that if you look at developers today, we have made a bunch of progress in kind of the platform,
mm-hmm.
but it is still not as productive as it could be when it comes to building really complex apps. You have a lot of stuff, you have distributed systems, you have the internet, you have very rich UI technologies and databases, and so workflow was kind of, in his vision, the centerpiece that ties all these things together. And so it's really a developer technology.
And what is it? I'm still trying to grok. Maybe you should show it to me.
Yeah, in fact.
And give me a visual idea of what it does for me as a developer.
In fact, the designer is probably the best way to know what it is.
Okay.
So I can
now, you guys look like you're running on XP, right?
Yep.
Now, it's the ship vehicle is Windows Vista, though. Will it ship on XP as well?
It in fact ships on all. It ships on down-level platforms as well.
Oh.
So in fact, if you look at rest of WinFX,
okay.
It ships in Vista, but it's also available on XP and down-level platforms like XP and Windows Server 2003.
Okay, and will it cost anything on Windows XP?
It's just base platform API. So the way developers should really think about it, it's just
okay.
.NET Framework. You get .NET Framework today, we're adding some very interesting namespaces to .NET Framework.
Got it.
That instead of writing custom code, now you suddenly get this rich library. So you already have Avalon and Indigo, or Windows Communication Foundation and Windows Presentation Foundation. And so those two things really help you, one with presentation, UIs, the other with really low-level communication plumbing. When we looked at it, there was this middle piece that was really begging to be added, which is how do you write very productive logic in the mid-tier? So that's Windows Workflow Foundation.
Yeah.
So actually, let's look at the designer. That's probably
Now, who are you?
I'm Paul. I'm product manager with the group.
Okay.
And I brought my laptop along to show you guys.
Excellent.
What do you see?
I want to see it.
Okay.
Show me what it does.
So you can see I've got Visual Studio running here.
Hold on just a second.
Can you see
get
it?
My tripod a little bit. There we go. Cool.
Visual Studio.
Yep. Okay. And I'm going to go and just create a project in Visual Studio. And you can see we've added some new project templates for workflow. And we've got a couple of them here. I'm going to grab the first one here, which is a sequential workflow console application.
Okay.
All right. So we'll make one of those. And what this does is this allows me to create a project which is a sequential workflow. So
now, when you say sequential, you mean
right. So it's on the screen.
One by one by one by one.
A green start,
okay.
And a red stop, and we're going to put one by one by one activities in the middle. And we can have those literally in sequence, or we can put those in parallel. And have a look over on the toolbox.
Okay.
We've got a bunch of different activities that we can drag on and use as part of our workflow.
Now,
so
now, as a developer, how do you know you need this? You know,
question, when should people think about workflow? In many ways, actually, for almost any application logic that developers write, they today actually are building workflows. The difference is they're building a lot of code to make their applications behave like a workflow.
Right.
So the idea really here is not when they should think about workflow, but instead of writing a lot of code they're writing today, they just get a much more productive API that gives them the same behavior. So here's an example. I'm building a page flow application. I have a bunch of pages. I'm building maybe a shopping cart or Amazon or eBay type of web application. I need to go a bunch of steps. And maybe after step three, the user goes somewhere, wants to go back. Today, I have to write a lot of code to make all the browser back button work, sessions work, all the information that you have to manage. That's a classic workflow.
Yes.
So if you're building a web page application that requires page navigation, think of WinWF. Or another example, if you have a bunch of web services, Indigo services, now you have created this whole farm of application services that everyone is basically a VisDL with web service behind it. Now you're thinking, okay, how am I going to actually tie all these services together? And today, what do? You take all these VisDL, you go into C#, Notepad, whatever, write a bunch of code to make these web services talk to each other now in a reliable fashion where one web service may go down and in which case you have to now go back, do a rollback. If you're trying to do those kind of composite web service applications, WinWF is your best bet.
Got it. Cool. So we're back on?
When we go back to the demos, I'm good at doing the demos.
Cool.
So we had...
I'm the randomizer.
We had a sequential workflow here. And we can add these things called activities here. We've got a bunch of these activities here.
Yeah.
And I want to show you adding some of these in. So I've got an if-else activity. And
if-else.
So I'm dragging that in there. And it appears there as part of my workflow. You can see multiple branches there. And we can specify a condition to decide what branch we're going to go down in this workflow. Each branch can have some activities in there that can be executed. And so this helps us to put together our workflow. Now remember that this workflow could be could run for some period of time. So we could have some things like a event sync where we're blocking and waiting for an event to come from maybe a person who has to respond to something.
Right.
And so
by the way, this is big. I mean, what he just showed is really big. If you think about it, in C# today, if you're trying to write something that actually blocks indefinitely, and you may get an event from a user, let's say that a user clicks a button, let's say you get it in the next 1 minute or next 2 days, trying to write that logic in C# or in basic code, you'll have to write a lot of code to make sure you go to the database, you don't block the thread, you are essentially making sure the system is actually performant. This thing just did that automatically for you.
Yeah.
You just basically...
There's a lot of code behind this.
A lot of code behind this, which in fact he'll show as we debug this thing. But the idea is not that we are trying to do some magic or anything. We are actually generating a lot of code for you that just makes it easier for you to generate these applications very rapidly.
Yeah.
Now, there is another point. When I was a developer, which I guess I should probably, in the sense of disclosure, I don't do anymore. I run the team and then try to stay out of the way of developers.
Yep.
But you look at visual designers like this, and as a developer, I'm like, well, that's cool, but I'm better off in my text editor. I'm just going to write code. I don't really like this visual drag and drop.
Yeah.
The big difference we have compared to kind of traditional workflow approaches, if you want to write code and never look at this designer, fine.
Yeah.
Just go in code, and we'll give you namespaces that you can just program directly in C#. So maybe, Paul, you should actually show how to kind of just jump in C# and write some of this thing in just code. And so we give you both the choices. It really depends on if you're the coder type, just wants to write a lot of code, we still give you namespaces and all those behaviors like transactions, how to do concurrency are available. But then if you are one of those guys who really thinks in this composite visual programming, I really want to compose these applications, the same programming model now gives you tools also where you can now go in a designer and build this thing.
Yeah. Cool.
Okay, so why don't we have a look at the code that we're working with here? This designer surface I'm editing the code directly. You wouldn't believe it by looking at the surface, but if we go and have a look at the code that we're editing, it's over in this file over here.
Okay.
And you can see this section, this region, designer generated code, where here I'm creating my if-else activity, which is the same if-else activity that we were working with on the design surface. And so for a developer who's been working on this, you can build this workflow directly in code, or you can use a designer, or you can use a mix.
Right.
It's super familiar for an ASP.NET developer or for a designer who's been doing forms-based development in WinForms. It's the same paradigm.
Right.
You have a surface, you can drag and drop on that surface, and of course anytime you want, you can get to the code behind. And so this makes workflow like just consistent with the rest of your development experience.
Very cool.
And what it means is, I don't know, did you learn computer science in the days where you drew out a little flow chart and you took that flow chart and then you implemented it in software, and that flow chart was a pretty piece of documentation that really never went anywhere? Well, now that flow chart that describes the sub-main effectively of your program, it can run in the software itself. So any application you write, you can have that flow chart as a workflow available.
This looks like you guys hooked up Visio with Visual Studio.
So it's a graphical surface.
It is, except we would like to think it's more than that. I mean, I think there is a visual programming there, but there is a very deep component model and developer platform integration. So going back to Scott's point, traditionally workflows have in fact taken the Visio approach literally, where you have a very fixed set of shapes you can drop, and then you can do the visual modeling, but then you emit out some XML or some document, and then hand it to a developer, go write this thing in code. And so the developer is still back in the same world where they're writing a lot of code for what should be much easier on the platform.
Yeah.
So one interesting thing that Paul showed earlier was this notion of activities, which is a big difference where if you think WinForms, you have the kind of the forms and controls metaphor, where somebody can go and create custom controls. They can create my own button, my own widget, and you're not limited to just three buttons that Microsoft shipped. And so the big difference here is with workflow, we'll give you the same model. Write any activity that you want, is the equivalent of a control, and drop it into a workflow, and you can create custom workflows too, like custom forms. And so essentially now you have a full framework as a developer where you are no longer limited to the fixed shapes and pretty shapes that we decided to ship. You take it, you extend it, you use ours, you use yours. And so the notion that it's a framework, we can write activities, we can write workflows, but other developers can write them as easily as we wrote ours, is a big shift for workflow.
Right. It's cool stuff.
Yeah, I mean, this is very different. It's funny, the workflow term, we spent a lot of time trying to figure out the name for the stuff. I mean, Windows, that was a giveaway. We had to be Windows something.
Yeah.
Workflow. Workflow is a challenging one because there already is workflow that a lot of people use, you know, relatively speaking, in content management for approvals, in BPM solutions for hooking applications together and so on. So this workflow term was overloaded, so is business process, so are all these other terms.
Right.
We're really redefining in terms of what we're doing here, what workflow means. This workflow layer is an infrastructure layer that's developer or ISV, if you want to put it that way, specific, that people can build all of those types of apps on top of. So you want to build a content management app on top of this, you add to this. You want to build a line of business app that has workflow inside it, you add on top of this. You want to build page flow in ASP.NET, you build on top of this. You want to build a BPM solution like BizTalk Server will do in its future release, you build on top of this infrastructure. So it's API level infrastructure. So if you've used workflow products before, this is not a workflow product, but it takes all of those concepts in terms of the computer science concepts and gives those to you as part of the base Windows platform.
Now, I'm sure you guys are doing some user testing and some test customers and stuff. What kind of productivity gains are they seeing out of this?
So what we're finding is a lot of ISVs in the past just weren't able to afford creating their own workflow engines, going ahead and maintaining the code and doing all of that stuff. And they're able to just throw our workflow engine in and then provide that end-user productivity. The designer, which we've briefly showed you and we'll go into more detail, is actually re-hostable. So if I'm an ISV, I could use it inside Visual Studio or I could use it in my custom application.
Okay.
So they're getting a lot of productivity gains from this. And of course, by putting workflow in, not only do you get the design visibility, you also get the runtime visibility, because that model stays with it throughout the execution of the overall cycle. And so I can track. And actually, one of the very, very cool parts of this workflow is it's dynamic. And so literally on the fly, I can be walking through a workflow at a particular step. And as a programmer, I've written some code that inspects the workflow and says, hang on a minute, I need to add another step, or I need to change another step. That's a really hard problem that just has not been well solved in the past. And this thing solves it using the standard technologies that the framework provides.
Very cool. So back to demos.
Another demo?
Yeah, actually, maybe we should just kind of, just to give a basic flavor, let's build a simple workflow. Let's show how to debug it, which is really one of the coolest developer features.
Okay.
Because one of the things you should know, building these visual tools is great, but if I can't really debug like I can debug anything in my code, as a developer, I'm not going to like this thing. I mean, right. It gives me a different feel than the rest of my application. So
you mentioned before that you could switch to CodeView.
Yes.
Why would you do that?
So I think one of the interesting things when we have looked at workflow, we looked at why workflow hasn't been successful as a mainstream technology. It has been successful in various domains, like Scott talked about document management or in the integration space, but it hasn't been like a mainstream platform like Forms or SQL like Data or mid-tier object-oriented programming. One of the things we realized that you can't force a one-size-fits-all model where you have to use visual design tools to generate the workflow.
Right.
You're going to find some developers really like, they want to write C#. By the way, maybe they want to write it in VB, which in fact we support. You can create this thing in any .NET language. It's not just C#. And so there's a spectrum of developers who really like the features provided by framework, but would rather write it as code rather than visual tools. Then there is a set of developers who are much more, it's the same developer who would rather do visual form construction and then only write event handlers in code. They really live in both worlds. They do part of their programming in visual designers and then part of it in code.
Okay.
And so to kind of cater to both types of developers, we realize that actually giving the ability where I'm writing a bunch of application code, I want to just inline part of that code to be workflow.
Yep.
And I never go into the designer. Which incidentally, I mean, we certainly think we have a really cool designer. But there are a lot of people out there who don't build applications using full-blown visual designers in Visual Studio. They may just do a notepad, open notepad, write code.
Yep.
Can the platform support that developer? And so that's the scenario where we say, well, go ahead, write just code. And by the way, the most cool thing, if you wrote it in code, now the question is, can I then decide I want to do part of it in visual design? What happens to the code I wrote? So we actually do full round tripping.
Oh,
so
wow.
You can start in code, and then we'll load that code, and actually if you decide later on I want to now go in visual designer, in fact, Paul, maybe you should show that as well as you go into kind of the,
okay.
As you go in code and come back.
Now, we're only going to have half an hour together,
yep.
Right? We're probably going to skim.
Yeah, you can
I'm sensing already this product is pretty deep, and this technology
yeah.
is pretty deep. So what are we going to see today and what's not going to be talked about?
So there are a lot of advanced features, like the one you're seeing here is the sequential workflow as we talked about. It's the more classical flowchart-like, do some work. There are some advanced types we have introduced. There is a one model called state machine, which is really very much geared towards how humans interact with workflows.
Okay.
And when I say that, typically having a flowchart like this works very well for automated system computer-based processes. You throw a person in that, and they're going to say, well, I want to skip this step. I want to add a new step. And so we have a model which is very much geared for office type of human workflow interaction. So that's an advanced concept. There's some other stuff we have around rules. So you have business rules, like if my customer is gold status, do this thing. And we can essentially do some advanced modeling of business rules, which again, we won't cover today. So let's just cover a basic today, which is building a workflow using sequential model,
okay.
How you debug it. And I don't know, Paul, are you going to show any forms, how you drive it from a form or something? I don't know.
Have a look at the state machine
okay.
later on. Yes.
Sounds good.
So just while
sure.
you've been talking, I put some more activities into this workflow that we created earlier.
Okay.
And so what I want to show you is just adding a breakpoint onto that. So this is the visual designer, and I can get a click right click on here and insert a breakpoint directly in the if-else statement. So I want to break it as soon as it gets to the if-else statement, which is the first activity in my workflow. You can see my little red dot that's appeared here. So we go and hit debug,
okay,
and we'll run this workflow.
So Paul, is this just a console application that you're running?
Right, we have just a very simple console application which loads the workflow engine and loads the workflow into that.
Which, by the way, you should note, when I say console application, this has, again, big implication. Now, you can have your workflow running on client, on your devices, because it's a very small footprint, or you can run it actually on the server. So a simple page or WinForms application can just load the entire workflow runtime, like he's doing right now. Oh, and
yep.
Right there, he hit the breakpoint. Maybe we should run it again.
So the console app has run now, and we've hit the first breakpoint. You can see the yellow square around that activity showing us where we are. And I'm
Let's
just going to
stay on that now as you step through.
Yep. So I'll just hit F11 And you can watch me step through the workflow. So I'm not stepping through the code at this point, I'm stepping through these activities in this workflow.
Okay.
And my condition there has resulted in false, it's gone down my second branch. So we can put the breakpoint in the code as well.
Oh, directly.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this is the round tripping, where I could now set a breakpoint in the code and the designer will round trip it.
Just while Paul's getting that set up, to emphasize Arve's point, the workflow engine runs in process. So this is not a heavyweight runs out of your process thing. This is literally gets instantiated inside the current process that you're running in.
Right.
So the cost of executing a workflow, something that historically has been expensive. You've typically interfaced as an application designer with some specific external application workflow system and passed information to it, had a lot of latency issues and so on. All of that you get for free because it just runs directly inside your process.
Right.
And it also means that the workflow engine can run in a variety of spaces. One of the things we haven't spent a lot of time talking about is the various Microsoft technologies that will actually use this workflow engine. So one of the things that is kind of huge, I guess, in terms of a technology adoption is if you're an Office 12 customer, and I hear there's going to be a few of them out there, then you're going to have this workflow capability as a core capability as part of Office. So obviously a key scenario for information workers is document management. You know, you're passing documents around in email, Sarbanes-Oxley, and those types of legal requirements exist. How do I track those?
Yeah.
How do I optimize that process that's involved in those approvals? And so actually Office 12 uses this as part of SharePoint, that's their center for workflow. So they've taken the SharePoint application and hosted workflow inside it. And then future provisioning apps like MMIS will use it, of course BizTalk will use it and so on. And each one of those applications hosts the workflow and then provides all of their own specific infrastructure for their specific scenario as a result. I think Paul's good, man.
Yeah, cool.
All right, so a little bit of recoding. You can see I've stopped at the breakpoint again. And just to show you that we can use the workflow debugger and break there.
Right.
And I'm going to run this time and it'll go down into my branch. And you can see I can also stop in code breakpoints. So the workflow runs in .NET. We can switch between code and the activities just as easy as if it was all code or if it was all activities.
Yeah.
So in fact, if I'm a developer, this is really the big thing for me, that I'm no longer now doing programming in these two worlds, the one visual world and one code. It's fully integrated. In fact, if you notice, there are some pretty advanced features. I have like full call stack. So actually I can go from workflow call stack into actually the C# call stack, or vice versa. So as a developer, I really now have a fully integrated forms, workflow, data. I can debug the full application, build a full application in one pass. So it's no longer, which again goes back to Scott's point, it's more of a framework rather than a server. If I have a separate server, and traditionally workflow servers have required you to build a completely different language, it's a fixed language, you have to build it using their tools. As opposed to that, here you're just in basic Visual Studio, basic C#, .NET technologies. So Paul is actually now kind of, that's...
So have a look at this. This is actually the call stack of the workflow. The one that you focused on before was the C# call stack.
So as you notice, what it's doing is essentially we started the workflow, then we took the if-else activity, then we took branch 1, and now right now we are on branch 1.code1, which is in fact the shape. So it's actually building a full call stack of the workflow as the workflow is executing. And so typically as you're building these complex workflow or process applications that span multiple machines, can go on for weeks, can involve multiple people, it gets very difficult to know exactly what's going on. Where is the workflow right now? Is it on step 3 on machine 3 and the user 2 is waiting to actually approve it? As a developer, now I have a very powerful way to see it, debug it. Actually, I can do round tripping with the code. I can essentially also, by the way, do break and continue.
Yeah.
Do you think as we're going through this, there's a lot of stuff that we're throwing very rapidly. So there may be some reason to kind of break it up, as you were saying.
Oh, absolutely.
Basics and advanced.
I'm just imagining being a developer and getting this and having my first hours of experience and what do I need to know? You know, what do I need to know about how to start? And then once I get started, what are some cool things? And I think you're covering most of that.
Right.
Explain to me a little bit about what tools are available.
So we mentioned these activities before, and activities are really the building blocks of the workflows that we have. Now, you can build activities just as easily as you can build a workflow. We have a designer for building activities, or you can build them in code again, and you can build them just with a few lines of code. And I have a project here where I've got an activity library where I've created an activity, and directly under that I have a workflow console application project. So that's a sequential workflow.
Okay. And now, how is an activity different from a workflow? Workflow is the top level.
So yeah, think forms and controls again, really.
Okay.
Workflow is the top level control, like top level container, and activities are your components or controls that you drop in the workflow.
Okay.
So all these things you're seeing on the left hand side, things like parallel, while, if else, all these are what we call activity. And then the container in which you're dropping those activities is called workflow, which happens to be sequential in this case, could be completely custom one. You could create a custom workflow called My Sequential Workflow, which is different from the one we ship. The notion that you can add completely custom activities is pretty big. In fact, Paul talked about the designer. Should probably show it how easy it is to actually create. Let's say we didn't ship a send email activity, and you're trying to build a workflow app, and you realize I need really send email. I don't want to write code every time I want to send an email from my app.
Okay.
It literally takes less than 2 minutes to add a new activity that the framework will support, just like any other activity on the palette. So let's just quickly add. You go to project, add new item.
Right, so we got add new item, and we have some additional item templates which you can use. The first one here is activity.
Yep.
And we also have, of course, familiar ones. You can add a code file or other things. So if we go and add that,
okay.
This gives us the activity designer, and I'll change the type of activity to a composite so that I can show you some of the drag and drop, the easiest way to create an activity.
What are the different kinds of activities then that you can choose from?
So there are really two basic types. There is simple, which is the atomic lowest level unit, and there is composite, as the name says. Composite is the one that can contain multiple simple ones.
Okay.
So it's a container, and so it's just a recursive composition. You have simple activities, you have composite activities, and you have workflows, which by the way, themselves incidentally are activities. So workflow is just a special kind of activity.
Got it.
And so composite just lets you drop, as in fact Paul is going to drop in a minute, some other activities within that container.
I might not, actually.
Okay.
I guess a key thing which activities relate to is that in the past these workflow engines have had a language that ran behind them.
Yeah.
And they had a pretty visualization, and while the user may have never seen it, there was some type of language or fixed grammar that sat behind them. If you're going to be the workflow engine for Windows, for the whole of Windows, for all of these scenarios, you know, line of business, page flow, and so on, having a single fixed grammar doesn't make a bunch of sense.
Yeah.
The grammar for dealing with a workflow in the ASP page flow in a line of business, it could be completely different. And so these activities are actually all strung together and are extensible, so there is no fixed language.
Right.
It's literally a sequencing engine that hooks together whatever activities you put in it. And those if-else shapes, they're an activity, just like send email that you write is an activity. So this means that you can specialize it for specific purposes. So this extensibility through activities is huge. We expect a whole bunch of developers out there will write activities. We can't think of all the activities for every scenario, but just like you may have written ActiveX controls.
Can you share them on the internet?
Absolutely.
Oh, really?
We expect that to be a huge site for sharing of these activities. We expect ISVs to create their own. So, for example, I talked about Office earlier. Office 12, to interact with SharePoint, there's a bunch of things you might want to do in a document lifecycle sense. So, for example, create a task seems like a pretty neat activity that you could use for Office, right? So I drop a create a task and it creates a SharePoint task or receive a task notification. So the Office folks are actually creating a set of 30 or so activities that'll ship as part of Office 12's design experience to make it really easy for people to customize people-based workflow using activities. Anyway, I think
PDC,
point.
Right?
Yeah.
So one of the big things we are actually going to announce at PDC is a workflow community site where, in fact, developers can go and share best practices, share activities. So, in fact, we are going to contribute a lot of activities both from the product team, that development members on the team actually are going to write a lot of cool activities. Things like how can you interact with Office, how can you interact with Exchange, how can you interact with Shell, just basic Shell interaction, open file folders. And the idea is really how you think today of ActiveX controls. You have a really very popular controls model around workflow where we'll contribute content, product teams like Office and MBS will contribute content, and then hopefully a lot of developers out there will come up with some cool ideas and actually create content that they can share. Right. So we'll have a community site launched at PDC that people can go and play with.
Okay, cool.
Save the demo. Well, you know what? That works just fine. Let's do the pictures again.
Okay, I've got a couple of different activities I'm ready to show you now with Instant Demos R Us. So I have a composite activity here, which you can see it, and it shows you drop activities here. So I can add some activities if I just drag a couple on here. Maybe we'll have two. So this is a code activity.
Okay.
A code activity is very simple. It just allows you to add some code. It's got this little red circle and exclamation point, which tells me that this particular attribute, attribute code, is not set. This just means I haven't put any code behind the code activity.
That's pretty obvious.
Yeah, that's pretty obvious.
So you double-click on that?
You just double-click on it, right, yeah. But a lot of activities have these little red exclamation points, and you can add them. They're called validators to your own activities. So when you create an activity, you can guide a user through that and make it much easier for them to get things right before they go to compile.
Now, are we going to see different kinds of developers? Like, now are we going to see an architect who does a workflow for his team and then hands it over to coders or something like that?
In fact, that's a good point, actually. In fact, the model we envision, things like activity creation, is pretty low-level task. You're doing a lot of stuff close to the metal. You're writing maybe transactions, database queries. And so what we expect is what we call the Einstein developer.
Yeah.
And if we share that outside, but it's Einstein developer, where they would go and create really the hardcore lower level building blocks, what we call activities.
Okay.
And they will give out this library of activities that are safe, that do all the right coding, like right behaviors. And they hand this library to now the MART developer in a company,
who is typically
we should try it on you then. And
like
then the
JavaScript developer or something.
I can steal some code.
So MART actually will write.
I know how to copy and paste. That's about it.
So that's what we expect MART to be able to do, is take the activities created by Einstein or the architect, which are meant to be safe and composable, and just stitch applications together and not worry about deep exception handling, transactions, error recovery. And so we really view those two core developer types, one building lower-level activities as building blocks and one building the workflows using the activities built by Einsteins.
Yeah.
And so Paul, I guess, is back into the activity world.
What I'd like to show you is we've created that activity, that composite activity, and now I'll compile it, and you'll see as soon as I compile it, it will appear up here in the activity library components in our toolbox.
Okay.
So we don't have to go and do any magic to go and add that to the toolbox. So I better hit that compile button since you're watching there waiting. You can see another activity which was in the project last time I compiled, and I'll show you that activity as well. I'm watching the build progress. Build succeeded. We should see it come up. There it goes. All right, so we can now use both of these activities, and here's the one we just created. And I can drag that into the workflow. That was type activity 4. And you can see that it is a composite, just like we used before. I also have this other one here, which I've created in code. This one has its own designer, so it's not using the standard designer. And if I drag that one in, you can see we've done a little bit of graphics work to create this one with a bit of line art.
So you can create your own look and feel for each
of
these
components. In fact, speaking of designers, there's some really cool stuff actually that we allow you to do. So if you notice, I right-clicked on this menu, and there's a thing called Select Custom Theme or Create New Theme.
Yep.
So what you've done is, because visual programming is a very important part of workflow development, we let you actually completely skin this designer. So if you don't like the look and feel that we shipped with, you want to create, make it look like Office, or make it look like your own app. So you can go into this dialog.
And make it look really ugly with green, black.
You can make it look like anything you want.
It's the main thing.
In fact, we are actually, speaking of that, we are going to launch a competition on the community site. Who can create the best and the ugliest looking theme? So, but as you notice, if I right-click, it lets me completely customize the look and feel, the shapes, the icons, the images that appear, and so I can select any activity and customize how it looks.
Yeah.
And so this thing can now get a completely custom look and feel for your app. Combine that with what Scott said earlier. This is right now running in Visual Studio, but we give you a framework where you can take this control, host it inside your application. So the same designer will appear now in both VS as well as your app. So that's actually pretty neat. I mean, nobody has done right now workflow designers that are framework-based. And so that's kind of one of the things we think we are actually doing pretty good stuff there. So, I guess Paul was showing this custom, so this is just a custom image for this activity. And we really view kind of ISVs to be able to, so you can collapse, expand. There is also a notion that you can do gray box, white box, black box type of model. So So some ISVs may not want to share their IP, and so they can create a black box activity which just looks like a black box, and you can't see what's inside that.
Oh, really?
Or some others can say, well, I don't really care about...
Now, is there any way for me to share a component on an activity on the internet and lock that up and
obfuscate it? Yeah. In fact, you can do a black box activity where you can't edit it. Or you can say, well, I actually only want you allowed two additions, but you can't change what I did, so that's a gray box where it's partially editable. Okay. Or white box, which we hope a lot of that will be on the community side, where developers share activities that can be easily modified by anyone.
Yeah.
And so this whole reuse model, which is component-based and gives you access control, is pretty good for building workflow libraries.
Got it. And is there any, what's the licensing on activities? Can I put an activity out and say you're allowed to use it for your own use, but if you build it in a commercial app, you have to pay me or you have to give me credit at least or something like that?
You could do that model. The licensing is similar to the Active-S control model in the sense that we expect that there will be some people out there who come up with a set of very cool, very generic, very usable activities that they want to put up for sale, and people will find those useful enough that they'll buy them, and then there'll be a set of things that I wrote on a weekend that help people and so on in a very similar way to ActiveX controls.
Very cool.
Now, also from a code standpoint, it's just assembly, .NET assembly. And so you can come up with a business model that as a developer, if you want to really just share it as a hobbyist, that's fine. If you really build something that's very specialized, does some really cool things and you want to sell it, I'm sure there are going to be a lot of people out there wanting to buy cool controls, like there are people who buy UI controls today instead of creating their own thing.
I used to work for Visual Basic Programmers Journal, and we had a whole magazine with advertisers of custom controls.
Well, hopefully we will have one of those for workflow one day.
Yeah.
Exactly right. Just another thing on activities, you kind of referred to this earlier a little bit, the whole, in the past, workflow has been positioned as a business analyst experience.
Yeah.
That's not a business analyst tool. Yeah. We're not into the business analyst experience at the platform level. This is a developer tool for VB or C# developers. On the other hand, what you build as a ISV or a developer, you might want to make more accessible to end users. So one of the ways you can do that is encapsulate in an activity actually what is a whole ton of workflow logic. So I can take a whole workflow, wrap that up in a single activity, and it's my sales activity. And then what I can do is rehost the designer in a simple UI where my business user gets just these five very composite, very high-level activities that they can modify. Actually, we think about this a lot for our MBS applications and how people would interact with them in the future. So now my end user can take my composite activities that do a ton of work behind them and drag and drop them with some limited flexibility that is suitable for them. But this whole experience is very developer-centric.
Absolutely. This is really cool stuff. So, if I have a black box, can I put a white area inside the black box? So
that is a gray box, where it's some of it is hidden, some of it is allowed for editing. Okay. That's gray box. Black box is just a full black box, where you can't really see what's inside. So that's really meant for somebody. Actually, there are a lot of good examples. If you take a look at like a lot of industry processes like RosettaNet in high-tech or CPFR, where some ISVs may believe they have some best practices or IP that they really want to protect and sell as a best practice workflow. They really would like to build it and sell it, but just make it look like a black box code where they don't want to show how it's built inside.
Got it.
So I think both the models are very interesting. Now, just to tie back to Office, because that's a really big news, which is Office is going to give you two big assets that as a developer you should really care about, I think. One, the Office client experience, which a lot of people are familiar with, things like Outlook. A lot of people really spend all their time in kind of email, at least a lot of people like me do.
Me too.
So one of the things is, which would be really nice, if I have a workflow running inside Office server product like SharePoint, and when I get some work assigned, like review this document or approve this document, it would be nice if I really get an approval notification just in my Outlook inbox. I don't have to go anywhere else.
Yeah.
So that's something Office is actually enabling in Office 12 using this workflow platform.
Okay.
Or if I'm in Word and PowerPoint, I can directly say, publish this PowerPoint for review. And so there is a client experience. And then they're actually publishing all their core workflow APIs in Office, wrapped as activities as we're showing. And so you can go to this community site or download Office SDK, and you have a palette of around 50 or 60 activities that as a developer you can now program Office.
Okay.
So
give me a short demo and then we'll wrap up.
Let's wrap up. Actually, this is a pretty interesting app that somebody out there can build as a developer ISV. It's nothing special that we have done. But it shows a few interesting things of the platform. One is this is the rehosted designer that I was telling you earlier about. So this is the same view that you were seeing in VS, but notice that it's running now inside a simple WinForms app. So now you can essentially do all the full drag and drop, the standard zoom, all the features that you actually want, you can do in this application outside of VS. So one of the things we should do now, what this application in particular is doing, is using the visualization and using another feature of the platform called tracking, which essentially lets you look at running instances of the workflow and see where a given workflow is at any given point. So we actually, so let's do something simple here. Let's just, this is my dummy application that starts the workflow. And so once I do that, now you will notice in this list here, I'm going to add two workflow instances, one called one, another called two. Not very insightful. And so I actually just added a few more instances here. And so what I do when I do add instances of these workflows, you can notice that I get essentially a drill down view, where essentially I get now at any given point where the workflow is. And so here what I have is all the things in kind of italics are things that are either completed, and you can easily imagine kind of visually highlighting things where they are going. Another really cool feature which Scott talked about, so if I click on this, now you will notice I'm now in the drill down view. And so let's take a look at this. So the ones in the italics on the left are all the activities that are completed.
Yeah.
The one in the bold are actually the ones that the workflow engine is currently executing. And so you will notice that inside the replicator, which is actually down here, and then there is a parallel, and we have basically a bunch of activities. And so there is this code to activity,
mm-hmm.
and there is a suspend activity, which actually this is showing on the left-hand side tree as being currently executing. And this is where the workflow is. What I can really do, which is this thing called change workflow, and this is really big, where I have a running code, I want to decide as an end user, I want to actually add a step to this workflow without having to go in VS, without having to recompile, without having to deploy new assemblies. So let's just say change workflow. And when I do change workflow, you will notice a few things happened here. I got a palette of available activities that I can drop at this running instance.
Yeah.
And this is not type, this is a running instance, where I can go in and say, well, I can go in and add a new activity wherever it's allowed me to add. So let's just say I added this activity.
Yeah.
And so what I just did is in in-flight running workflow code, I've added a new step. And I can go back and say, well, I really like what I just changed. It really works well. And so I could say, go ahead and accept this change.
Yeah.
And what this did is just saved what I had actually done as an end user back into a new workflow type. So this actually really opens up a lot of possibilities for a developer where users can say, I really don't like this process. I changed it, and what I changed really works well for my business, so why don't you use this as a template?
Got it.
And so that's a really big feature called dynamic update.
Huh. I really like that feature because anytime anybody in a workflow sends me something to do, I just drop the delegate activity in, save the workflow back out, and somebody else gets the work. That's the type of thing you can do. It's very cool.
Very cool. Thank you for spending some time with me today.
Sure.
It's cool stuff, and good luck at the PDC.
Thanks.